Hey guys, welcome to episode 4 of Nay the Podcast. Now, I know that at the end of episode 3, I hyped up episode 4, right? I can still hype up episode 4 because I believe that it's going to be a great episode, even though I changed the intended episode. You guys will be hearing from the guest at a later stage, you know, of the intended episode. So the intended episode will happen at a later stage. I decided to change this episode and touch on mental health. You know, May is Mental Health Awareness Month, so I decided to speak about mental health, and I've got an amazing guest joining me today, and we'll be sharing our experiences dealing with specific mental health issues. So I do hope you guys enjoy. Joining me on this episode is an amazing friend of mine, Chili. I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce her full name because she says that I can't pronounce it. So I'm just going to say Chili because Chili is short for her full name. Hi, Chili. Welcome to Nay the Podcast.
Hi, Renee Lui. Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. You know, even though I asked you at such a... like it was a last minute thing, right? Like it was last night things. I was like, Chili, don't you want to like just chip in? And, you know I caught you off guard, but I'm thankful that you actually agreed.
Yeah, you caught me off guard, but I am glad to do it.
Okay, all right. So it's Mental Health Awareness Month. You know, May is Mental Health Awareness Month. And I decided to speak about this, well, touch on this specific topic. So I'm going to ask you a few questions, and then of course at the end you will share your experience dealing with mental health issues. Is that fine?
Yeah, it's all good.
All right then. So the first question that I want to ask you is, in your opinion, what does mental health mean?
Honestly, in my opinion, before I knew the whole definition of mental health, I thought it's when someone is always sad, you know? That's what I was thinking. Like, when someone's always sad and crying, it's like, baby girl, you're depressed. And when I got to know the actual meaning of it, I understood that it was deeper than that. And I was like, okay, I understand what depression is. I understand what mental illness in as a whole is.
Yes. All right, so that's what mental health means to you.
Yeah, let's just say yes for this one.
Okay, all right then. So I agree with you. For me, whenever I heard of the word mental health, I'd always focus on mental, and I'd always think that, oh, whenever they're speaking about mental health, they're speaking about crazy people, you know, like that's how it used to be. Like growing up, they're speaking about crazy people, because if you're mental, when someone says you're mental, it technically means that you're crazy, right? So that's what I used to think. I used to think it means that someone is crazy. When they speak about mental or mental health, it means that they're going to speak about someone who's crazy. But along the way, I realized that, no, man, it doesn't mean that. It has to do with how healthy your mind is. It has to do with the mind and how healthy your mind is. I don't know if you get what I'm saying, right? Like, it has to do with, I wouldn't say stable, but like more like how healthy, whether your mind is healthy or not.
Yeah.
Along those lines, I know that it's a very vague definition, but like, yeah. That's what I used to, like, that's how I like explain it to myself. Okay, that it has to do with the mind and how healthy your mind is.
Yeah, that's true. It has to do with the balance between your mind, your emotion, your spirituality, everything.
Definitely. So now, you know, looking at society, right, we all know that society usually turns a blind eye towards mental health, right? Like, how would you say society perceives mental health, in your opinion?
In my opinion, society sees mental health as a taboo thing. It's literally taboo. It does not exist.
Definitely, I agree with you.
Yeah, because when I understood the depth of mental health and I asked people around me and how they saw it, they saw it as something that's made up. They think it's made up and people are just want they just want attention. So nowadays, it's more clear that this is a serious issue because more kids our age and above our age group are killing themselves because they're not getting that help they need to stabilize their mind, to keep their mind healthy. And it's sad that our society only realizes this now because people are acting on it just because their kids, their nephews, their nieces are killing themselves.
Definitely, definitely. I think that just because I feel like now that we have social media and now we are very technological, we're in a very technological area. I think more than anything, we have become more aware of mental health or about mental health because we have more information than we did back in the day. So I feel like now it's starting to get more accepted. Like people are starting to accept the fact that, hey, people have mental health issues. People deal with anxiety. People deal with depression. You know, it's something that happens. And it doesn't necessarily mean that if you're dealing with depression or you have anxiety or whatever, you're crazy, you know. So I feel like nowadays, for me, in my opinion, society's starting to accept it more because there's more information.
Yeah.
Definitely. That's what I think. That's what I think. I don't know how you see it, but I feel like society is starting to accept it more because there's more information.
There is more information. More public outlets are talking about mental health. And as you can see, this month is Mental Awareness Month. And they're trying to let people understand what it is and what types of mental health issues people suffer from. There's more information everywhere where people, old, young, can like find out about it and understand what exactly is going on with a person or with themselves.
Definitely, I agree with you. I agree with you. Now, that was like on a general basis, but we know how in a lot of families of color, or like let me just specify a bit more and say in Black families, because in Black families, the way that they see mental health, like, what is your experience? Because I mean, we're both Black and we've had our own experiences where Black families don't really take it seriously. You'll hear that when someone goes crazy or when someone is retarded, for example, or when someone is bipolar or someone has been diagnosed with a mental illness, they'd be like, oh, bamoloyile, bamoloyile. They bewitch the person, you know, they bewitch the person. So I don't know about your experience in your family, but would you like to share your experience in your family? As a Black person.
As a Black person.
Yeah, how have they...
How I experienced mental health as a Black person.
Yeah.
As Black people, we're very... I come from a very spiritual family. I come from a Christian family, right?
Yeah.
So when they found out that I had mental health issues, most of my family members were like, Kima demon, those deck demons, you are possessed.
I hear you. Yep, that's exactly what they would say.
You are possessed, like devil trying to fight you. I was like, what? Please. And I was like, you know what? It's very sad when they all said that because it increased the negative feelings that I was already feeling. They're making me feel more bad about the situation that I'm in right now. And when people say that you're making this all up, well, they're invalidating my feelings, they're invalidating how I feel and how I see things, makes it more worse for that person, honestly. Because, like, honestly, Black people grew up knowing that if someone is, like, unstable, they are crazy, they are possessed. And when people tell you that, it makes you feel more low in life. It makes you feel like you don't deserve to be on this earth because now you are possessed by things that you don't even know existed. Now you're being called crazy. Now you're being invalidated because of the way you feel. It's very sad, honestly.
I hear you.
But I feel like we can't blame them because it's always been a taboo, right? And now when someone in your family experiences mental health, it gives you the opportunity to learn more about it, to understand what exactly it is, and to learn from it so that when they continuously go through whatever they're going through, you know what to say and not what to say. To not be like, oh, child, you have a spiritual attack, or you are crazy and everything. For Black people, it's basically, you have demons, basically.
Definitely.
For Black people,
I come
from what I've experienced.
Oh, yeah, that's from what you experienced. Okay, so I come from a family where it's all about being strong. You know, you gotta be strong. Like, it's all about that. You have to be strong. So whenever, like, whenever I would cry, or whenever, like, I would become so anxious, because I deal with anxiety, right? So whenever I become so anxious and I panic, or whenever I feel down, it always be that thing, oh, you'll get over it. Oh, you'll get over it. Toughen up. Right. And you just be like, but okay, guys, this is something that I'm dealing with, right? Like, what if you keep on saying toughen up, and then next thing I commit suicide? Like, y'all gotta take it seriously. You gotta take it seriously. So it always be like, toughen up. Like, that was like the biggest. Not the biggest. Well, that was something that I heard on a regular basis whenever, like, I used to go through my little panic attacks. It'd always be like, oh, toughen up. Oh, you won't survive in this world. Oh, it's just a phase. That's literally how I've, like, experienced it. Like, especially because I deal with anxiety a lot. That's literally everything that they would tell me, that I need to toughen up because I won't survive in this world. It's a cruel world. True. You need, it's a phase, you're gonna get through this phase, you know, it's not gonna last, you know, you'll be all right, you know, like, that's literally how it's been for me. So I don't know if this is only something that happens in Black families. Don't you think that this is something that happens, like, in other families as well, where they always tell the person to toughen up? You need to toughen up, like, you won't survive in this world. Like, don't you think that this is something that they say in every family?
You know what, honestly, in my opinion, it's just my opinion, it could happen in every family, every type of family, but it's mostly seen in Black families. It's like, you need to toughen up. You can't be vulnerable about every little situation. Things are still going to become harder and more difficult. Baby girl, you better toughen up, or else you're not going to survive in this world. They'll tell you that. It's
definitely.
Like, why do you think, like, most families say it's just a phase?
I don't know. Why do they say that it's just a phase? They always say it's just a phase, you'll get through it. But what if you don't get through that phase? What if that phase doesn't pass? What if that phase is forever?
Exactly, you know, like, because that's the thing that I'm getting out with that phase.
Yeah. Right, so we shared our experiences, like, within our families and all, but, like, your experience in general dealing with mental health issues, like, how has it been, and have you received any support?
Wow. Honestly, to tell my story, right, is that I did receive support after a long time.
After
I only received support when doctors and psychologists and psychiatrists were involved, because now it's being seen as this is a real thing.
Yeah.
You understand what I mean? Because
I hear you.
I went through my high school years. I think levels of depression, because I was clinically diagnosed with depression. I was clinically diagnosed with a borderline personality disorder and symptoms of anxiety and paranoia.
Yeah.
Like, a lot. If I would, I can't even name everything that I was clinically diagnosed with. But this started at a very young age, and no one understood. They just thought that, no, she's just a sensitive kid. She's just a crybaby. She's not tough enough with this world, that type of thing. So when I got older, around 16, 17, it got worse, you know.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, you know, so, and I was also an isolated baby, so it was that thing of, why does she not go out? Why does she not have friends? Why is she always sad in her room? Everything. And as I went to varsity, I was alone. It became worse, very worse. It's like darkness. You just covered with darkness.
Yeah, yeah, I hear you. I hear you. It's like darkness.
It's like darkness. No matter what you're suffering with, it might be depression, anxiety, borderline personality disorder, anything it is, it's like you're covered with darkness and you feel like you're alone. You can't talk to anyone because you feel like you're a burden to other people. You have no self-worth. You have these like mood swings left, right, and center. You don't even understand what's happening.
I hear you. So did you end up getting support? Like, at what stage was it when, you know, now you need to go seek professional help? Like, that was the breaking point. When did that happen?
The breaking point for me was when I started developing more physical symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
When I say physical symptoms, it means like you lose your appetite, you struggle with insomnia, you struggle with concentrating, and you have increased panic attacks. You start to lash out to people. You have massive back pain. Oh, I suffered from back pain on a serious note. There's days where I couldn't move at all because of the pain I was feeling.
Really?
And I couldn't at all. And at that point, it was becoming so worse that I was like, to my mom, I was like, I need to see a doctor, because I was also writing exams at that point.
Yeah.
I was writing exams. It was COVID. I was writing exams. I was like, can I please go see a doctor? I don't understand what's happening with me. It's becoming worse. And my parents were like, there is no need. Just pray about it. And I was like, you know what? One day when they went to work, I went to go see a doctor. I explained everything that was happening. And she was like, she was like, baby girl, what you're suffering from is depression. I was like, okay. I just laughed it off because
you don't know
I
what
knew
to
I had
I can't imagine.
I was like, okay. You know when someone professional tells you something you know, but then it becomes more real when someone
and then you're just like,
And then she explained to me, I blacked out. Can I tell you that I blacked out when she was speaking to me? It was just blacked out.
Really?
I'm telling you, because when someone who has, how can I say this? Who's someone who's professional in their field tells you something like that, knowing the background you're coming from, it becomes a whole nother thing.
Yeah, I can imagine. I can imagine.
You know, it becomes more real than it was before.
I hear you. So you were able to overcome it, or are you still, I don't know, I don't, like, if you don't mind me asking, like, are you still dealing with the depression, or you have been able to, like, overcome it in a way, if you get what I'm saying?
I get what you're saying. Like, honestly, people think that once you get help with whatever mental illness a person is suffering from, then it's over and done with. Understand that in life, you go through ups and downs, and there's things in life that can trigger you to go back to that mental state and worsen it rather than get it better. When you get help, they help you with mechanisms to deal with the depression, to deal with the anxiety, to deal with the panic attacks. Because the point where you receive professional help, it's whereas you are at the risk of committing suicide or hurting
suicide,
other people.
Yes, I hear you.
You know, so you can't necessarily say that, nah, I got I got help, now I don't have it anymore. What do they call this? It's a chronic, yes. It's a chronic condition. Mental health is a chronic condition.
I hear. Well, is that all that you'd like to share with your experience, or do you want to add anything else?
With my experience is that it's easier to talk to someone than to bottle everything up.
Definitely, definitely.
It's easier
definitely
because...
I agree with you on that one. And what I always say to people, that it doesn't necessarily have to be someone who's professional, but someone you trust. Because if you trust that person, you are able to be at ease. Like, you're at ease, and then you're able to pour your heart out because you trust the person. Whereas if you don't trust the person, you know, like, you are limited. You can't really tell the person everything. No matter how many times the person asks you, are you okay? Are you okay? You won't be able to tell the person what's wrong because you don't trust the person. But if you trust the person, you're at ease. You're going to be able to tell the person everything because you're at ease. So I say that if you can't go to someone professionally, speak to someone that you trust. It can be anybody, as long as you trust the person.
Yeah, a person that you can be open with and
that's
they
what I'm
not judge
saying.
You for how you feel. Because many people judge people of how they feel without knowing what exactly is happening.
Definitely.
I just really hope that when someone really wants to talk to you about something, be there for them. And don't judge them and try to understand what they're going through, because honestly, I would tell someone that I don't feel okay. I can't tell you what it is. I don't know. I can't explain my emotion right now. But I feel really, really sad. I feel down. I feel like I don't want to live anymore, but I don't want to kill myself.
Yeah.
You know, because I've been suicidal before. I've tried to kill myself and everything, but then there were people around me. But I didn't know that I had the ability to like talk to them, be like, I just need someone to talk to so that I don't go through with what is going through my mind right now, you know?
Definitely. I hear you. Well, I think we've already touched on giving recommendations. So I'm just going to give my experience dealing with anxiety. What you said about how mental health is a chronic condition, I believe so, because if you deal with anxiety, just because you get help now doesn't mean that it's over, like you're done dealing with anxiety. I know that in two of my episodes, the first episode, I mentioned that I've got anxiety, especially when it comes to schoolwork, right? And it was usually because of the fear of failure, right? And then in the second episode, I was like, being a perfectionist is one of my causes of anxiety. And that's true. I am very fearful of failing, guys. Like, I'm scared of failure because I always think of the worst, right? Instead of focusing on right now, I always have that what if mentality, right? And I've always had that what if mentality. Back in high school, it was worse. Like, I don't know how many times I cried, how many times I've missed tests, days where I wouldn't go to school because I just didn't want to write because I was just too anxious, or I suffered from little panic attacks and all. And then I was like, you know what? I need to go to a doctor, and the doctor needs to give me something, right? I'm not going to say that I was reliant on pills, because that's going to sound like I was a drug addict. But it does. I can't say that I was relying on pills. It really sounds like I was a drug addict. So they gave me pills. They prescribed anxiety pills, right? And it helped. They helped. But up till recently, or should I say up till the beginning of 2020, like, my anxiety like wasn't as bad as it used to be. I didn't have to take meds. I didn't have to, like, I was okay. Like, my anxiety was okay. Like, I was able to handle it without taking medication, right? Like, I was chilling. So, you know, I was like, okay, let me just see how it goes. Like, what do I need to do? Any non-medication treatments or stuff? And, you know, I think more than anything, the best thing that's helped me right now with the whole dealing with my anxiety is to withdraw from people. So, you know, I'm a people's person. I am very social, even though I'm not social. That makes sense. Like, I'm an ambivert, right? I'm introverted and extroverted at the same time. But, like, I'm able to make friends very easily, right? I can speak to anyone and anyone. I mean, anyone and everyone. So I think when it came to me dealing with my anxiety over the past year, I've been able to deal with it by withdrawing from people, withdrawing from watching the news. Because, you know, you'd always watch the news and you'd be like, oh my gosh, COVID is getting so worse. Guys, what? The numbers are rising. Oh my gosh, we have a second wave. Like, I used to panic, not just because of COVID, but like also school stresses. Like, I was a mess. And I was like, maybe I need to withdraw. Right. And that's what I did. Just withdrawing from people and withdrawing from society has helped me deal with my anxiety as compared to drinking pills. Because as much as the medication helped, it didn't help me like, now I'm fine. Like, now I'm calm. I think it only helped for like a certain period of time. And then I would have like a relapse of panic attacks. So I had to find non-medicinal ways to deal with my anxiety, and that's how I dealt with it. So
yeah,
you know, guys, it works. Anxiety is really bad. I, from the days that I'd cry in the morning and be like, no, I can't write this test, or no, I can't write this exam, or oh my gosh, I am like really scared. Like, and it's not just like school related, but also speaking to people. Like, yeah. I become so anxious when it comes to speaking to someone. I always have to think over and over again, like, okay, I need to speak to this person. I need to say this. And sometimes I delay speaking to people because of my anxiety. Yeah. But I think nowadays I'm getting like better in the, especially when it comes to speaking to people, like, I can speak to people. I don't delay as much as I used to. But in the past, guys, I would go months without speaking to people, like months. And I would be like, oh no, I need to speak to this person. Or, oh no, I need to speak to that person. And it wasn't because I didn't want to speak to the person. It's just my anxiety would always be like, what if they don't respond? What if they don't answer? What if I embarrass myself? What if I say the wrong things? You know, it's always that what if. And it's not just speaking to people as well. Like, I think my anxiety is everywhere, guys. Like, but I've been able to manage it. Like, the only way I manage it is either listening to music, specifically like music that, you know, whether it be rap, hip hop, something that gets you in a happy mood, or just withdraw from people. That's what I've been able to do, because I felt like it helps me better than the medicinal way. So yeah, that's really how my experience of anxiety has been.
It helps. I feel like people should find ways to not use medication if it makes you worse. Because in my experience, medication kind of made it worse, because it made me listen more to my feelings and to the emotions that I was feeling. I was more attentive to the negative side rather than the positive side. When I was hospitalized for this mental health situation, when I talked to the people that were around me, or when they tried to talk to me, I was not there. I was in my own world. I was looking for ways to like remove myself from the situation and everything. And I realized later on down the line, when I got spiritual help as well. With my experience, it was that I got spiritual help and medical help. So I had to balance everything. So someone told me was, you need to balance your spirituality, your mental health, your emotional health, and your physical health, so that everything is aligned, so that you can cope better with whatever you are struggling with.
And
I was like,
definitely,
okay, I understand what you mean. So for me, I got closer to God so that I can see the more positive things in life, instead of focusing on the negative. Instead of medication, I started exercising, I started taking walks, I started meditating, I started doing yoga.
I think it helped. If you're looking for non-medicinal ways to treat your mental illness or treat your mental health or overcome certain mental health issues, is actually a good way. a lot. Like I've heard a lot of positive feedback from people who have ventured in the non-medicinal way of dealing with their mental health issues than people who went the medicinal way. They went to get medication, but that didn't help much. So, you know, whatever works for you guys. I'm not saying that you guys should now listen to us and be like, okay, they said that we shouldn't focus on meds alone. We should try and look for other ways and just leave the medication. In most cases, or in some cases, medicine does work. So anyway, it's fine.
It depends on the person.
Yes, it depends on the person, definitely. So I think that we've spoken, like we've covered a lot, and I don't want to like go on and on this episode. So before we end the episode, I wanted to know if there's anything else that you'd like to add, or are you okay?
I would say okay, but what I've experienced is that know yourself and love yourself. The more you love yourself is the more you're going to understand yourself, and you wouldn't let anyone around you treat you, in other words, like trash, which is a bad word, but I'll just say trash. I've realized that most of our mental instability is caused by people around us. So just try to love yourself. Try to find ways to be happy and always focus, and you'll be okay.
All right. Thank you so much, Chili, for featuring in this episode of Nay the Podcast. I absolutely enjoyed everything that you said, sharing your experience. It was very enlightening. I hope that people can learn from this episode. And thank you so much, guys, for also tuning in this episode. Thank you so much, Chili.
Thank you very much. Spread the love, guys.
Thank you for listening to Nay the Podcast. Nay the Podcast has an Instagram page at Nay the Podcast, as well as a Twitter page at Podcast Nay. So if you want to reach out, you can do so by DMing me on either platform, and you can follow on either platform so that you can continuously be updated on the podcast. Episode 5 drops on the 25th of May, so that's 2 weeks from today. And I hope that you guys enjoyed episode 4, and I hope that you guys will be enjoying episode 5. Like I always say to people, listen to the podcast, follow the podcast, and share the podcast. Till next time.